A lot to do on a Wednesday drive. You know, it's the sign of a good talk host to stay in tune with all the headlines and identify what the most important ones are. Because there's a lot happening right now between baseball, announcing it'll officially restart at the end of July, Bubba Wallace doing the media car wash today, and PGA Tour golfers testing positive for coronavirus. But I think last night's headline of Lakers guard Avery Bradley deciding he's not going to report to Orlando will have a massive impact on some of the results we see when the playoffs come around. Because the Lakers have the best record in the Western Conference, but since the very beginning of the year, I said the Clippers were the favorite to win. I think their roster makes just more sense than the Lakers does. I gave them the edge when they played head-to-head, and those results have borne it out through three meetings. And I view yesterday's news as the recent evidence, the latest evidence, that there is separation, more separation between the Lakers and the Clippers. The Clippers, they are my favorite to win the finals in Orlando, because I really value strong defense in the playoffs. Bradley was the best defender on the perimeter that the Lakers have. There's a large drop-off between him and whoever you view to be second on that list. In the playoffs, it becomes a totally different game. That's why I don't think there's any sport, Robert, where the product is so much more different in the playoffs versus what you see in the regular season. Maybe baseball. Because you saw the way that the Red Sox went on their run in 2019, or excuse me, this would have been 2018. They went on the World Series run, and they just decided to throw as many pitchers as they could at one time until, you know, everybody had their arm thrown out. So maybe it is different, more different for the Major League playoffs than it is the NBA. But the biggest difference, a lot of the stuff you get away with in the regular season, you don't in the postseason. It's rigid. Officiating's different. It's a big reason why I think James Harden and the Houston Rockets have never broken through. Great in the regular season because you can get away with a lot. James Harden, he's going to get to the free throw line a million times. Then he's going to sputter out in the playoffs wondering why he's not getting those same calls. Well, that's why. You have the same team that you're running into. They're always good. More matchup based. I think the Lakers have a bad matchup in the Clippers. The Clippers, they are loaded defensively. Kawhi, maybe the best perimeter defender, but he could defend 1 through 5. Paul George, top 5, top 7 defender. Pat Beverly, he's a pest, known for his defense. Montrezl Harrell from Goldsboro, North Carolina, #252. Really like him in the post. But if it comes down to it, and you're just going to put star versus star, I'm taking Kawhi today over LeBron James. It almost seems sacrilege to go up against LeBron, but I've got Kawhi 6 years younger than LeBron. Kawhi, who's coming off carrying a team to the finals last year on his back. Granted, the Warriors had a ton of injuries. Still a remarkable thing that Kawhi was able to do. And Kawhi, he has a long history of LeBron. LeBron not matching up well. We all remember the image. 2014, he's with the Spurs. Kawhi, that is. He checks into a finals game. LeBron turns around. He sees Kawhi checking in, and he curses underneath his breath. But that's just history, Josh. That's 6 years ago. What about 2020? 3 games. Kawhi Leonard in the opener this year. 30 points to LeBron's 18. LeBron defended a lot by Kawhi. 7 of 19. Game 2, Christmas Day. Another Clipper win. 33 points for Kawhi. 23 for LeBron. LeBron even less efficient. 9 of 24. Game 3. The Lakers won it. Very close game. LeBron even got one more point than Kawhi. 28 to 27. But Kawhi shot 50% from the field. LeBron was 7 of 17. The Clippers won 2 out of the 3. All those seemed like playoff caliber matchups. And Let's not forget, one of those games, Paul George didn't even play. The Clippers roster, as I said a few minutes ago, just makes more sense. The Lakers, when Rajon Rondo's not in the game, who's the Lakers point guard? Is it LeBron? Is it Kyle Kuzma?
No, you were right. It's LeBron. He's definitely going to be the one
taking
the
ball. That's crazy. At least with the Cavalier teams that made it, okay, you knew who the point guard was. It's Kyrie Irving. Heck, it's even George Hill. It wasn't LeBron bleeping James. Who's the lockdown defender for the Lakers? Is it LeBron again? So you're going to ask him to be your scorer and then on the other end be your best defender? I don't think it's Danny Green. I don't think it's Kyle Kuzma. Then you got the characters in the locker room. The big report today, the Lakers are targeting J.R. Smith to be Avery Bradley's replacement. Because what could go wrong there? Dwight Howard's on this team. Rajon Rondo on this team. The characters, it's not necessarily made up of guys you generally associate with championship caliber leadership, championship caliber quality.
I think you're sleeping on my man, Baby LeBron.
Who's Baby LeBron?
Alex Caruso.
Oh, get out of here.
He's got the LeBron hair.
Come on.
He was leading in all-star votes at one point for point guards.
The Clippers, unlike the Lakers, I think everybody understands their role. But the Clippers, they know Kawhi's the lead dog. Paul George, he wanted to be a part of that. Kawhi specifically handpicked George to start that cycle of the trade that happened and blew up last summer. Zubac does his job. Trez Harrell does his job. Pat Beverly, they all understand what they're asked to do, and they do it. So don't be fooled by the standings. The Lakers, they have more wins. It's a totally different game in the playoffs. Avery Bradley not being on the Lakers is a significant deal. We have one of the leading voices of the NBA, Kevin Harlan, who's going to join us at the bottom of the hour, a little over 20 minutes, and we'll continue talking about what Bradley not being on the team means for the Lakers and the Clippers. Also, there's a lot of conflicting reports out there what exactly the broadcast product is going to look like in Orlando, so maybe Kevin can clear up a lot of that. I want to shift things to Major League Baseball. We finally have confirmation it's going to be a 60-game season. The players and owners came to an agreement on the health-related protocols last night. It's going to start July 23rd or July 24th. Teams are going to report in a week. So I have right here the five biggest storylines heading into this shortened 2020 Major League Baseball season.
Number five.
The Boston Red Sox. You lose Chris Sale, you lose Mookie Betts, you lose your manager, you're involved in the sign-stealing scandal, you're not hit nearly as hard as the Astros were. How's it going to look? Everybody thought this was a throwaway year for Boston, but 60 games? It's a little more random. In fact, it's a lot more random. And I think this Red Sox team has a lot of players who have postseason experience. I value that in adverse times. I value it in the NBA. I'm going to value it in Major League Baseball. So I'm not counting out the Red Sox making the postseason just yet.
Number four.
Chicago White Sox or the Cincinnati Reds potentially breaking through. These are the trendy picks in the media. The Reds, they pick up Trevor Bauer. They have Sonny Gray. Young prospects that they are really excited about over there. We've had a chance to see some of the White Sox young players. One of the best farm systems the last 5 years, Carlos Rodon from NC State. He needs to take a bigger role this year. Luis Robert, who started last year in Winston-Salem with the Dash, he's expected to be in the outfield. Really exciting prospect. You got some really big offseason acquisitions. Yasmani Grandal is on this Sox team. You also have Encarnacion on the roster. So it's a good mix of youth and experience. Those are two teams to keep an eye on to see if they potentially break through this year.
Number three.
Can the Angels make the playoffs? You got Joe Maddon as your manager, who turned around the Chicago Cubs. You have, of course, Mike Trout, who gets the massive payday. You bring in Anthony Rendon to protect Trout in the lineup. Why not this Angels team in the AL West? Why can't they finally punch through and make the postseason, maybe make a postseason run? Shohei Ohtani, one of the biggest stories in baseball until he got hurt. He's expected to be back. The Angels, can they break through as well?
Number two.
Two massive stories. You can put them in whatever order you want. The ticking clock on the LA Dodgers. You bring in Betts. It's a gamble. He has 1 year left. David Price, you take on that contract. You have a heartbreaking postseason loss again a year ago. Justin Turner, it might be his last year with the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw, he's getting older as well. The Dodgers, they are the favorite to win the National League. They have the easiest path as well. Fewer games to maneuver through. The Dodgers, there are no more excuses here. You have to win if you're Dave Roberts. This, the one or the number one or number two biggest story this year has to be LA and the pressure that's on Dave Roberts' shoulders.
Number one.
The Houston Astros. Are teams going to throw at them? Dusty Baker, he's taking over for AJ Hinch. Are they going to hit nearly as well? Now that we know Major League Baseball's eye is on all these players, how much did the cheating actually pay off? The sign stealing? The Astros, it's still going to be a fascinating dynamic, even though you don't have the fans in the stands to boo them. But that is the biggest story still to me in Major League Baseball. Can they continue to go on a run? Can they have similar success? Is it going to look like a revenge tour? That's the biggest story in baseball this year. Okay. There are two things I need to get off my chest that have just been just sinking into my core. It's been bothering me all day. I'll get to those next on The Drive.
Hit it. Go. Let's begin.
It's on.
The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
Pretty big news out of the NFL right now. According to Ben Fisher of the Sports Business Journal, the first 6 to 8 rows in every NFL stadium is going to be off-limit to fans this year, covered with a tarp that will have a sponsor logos that could be seen on television, kind of like the way you see in soccer. So the NFL is going to find a way to supplement cost if they can't have capacity crowds this year. We're now being joined by somebody that knows the NFL very well. It is the voice of the Super Bowl for Westwood One. It is the reigning NSMA, National Sportscaster of the Year, Kevin Harlan, who you might know as one of the leading voices of the NBA on TNT as well. Kevin, you staying safe, my friend?
How are you, buddy? Good to hear your voice and great to visit. Yeah, we're good. All well. We're up actually at our, we have a small summer home up on Lake Michigan, and it is about 65 degrees here today. Kind of relaxing, kind of nice before we get into the fray of NBA, and we think in the start of the NFL, and just kind of like everybody else, waiting to get things, sports back on track and back to somewhat of a normal schedule, if we can call it that, with what we've all got to go through.
I am interested in some of the logistics when it comes to the broadcast presentation of the NBA bubble, but let's actually start with basketball-related stuff, too. I think Avery Bradley deciding to go, not to go to the bubble is a big deal, because the advantage I felt the Clippers had over the Lakers was one of defense. They play a very strong defensive ball. And the playoffs, they're more rigid, defensive players that could get away with a little bit more when playoff games are happening. So I like the Clippers as a favorite in the Western Conference over the Lakers. How do you view differences, similarities, and where do you favor between the two LA teams?
Well, I don't know that we have seen the best Clippers yet, and I do think we have seen the Lakers with a lot of their firepower playing the way they envisioned that they would play. So I guess the last fourth of the season, the part that we missed regular season, was going to give us, I think, a run-up to what the Clippers were going to be. And so I really don't know. You know, I think this, I think that it's going to be incredibly, it's going to be like, it's going to be a constant environment with no persuasion either way from outside forces. It'll be all about what your team is. You're not feeding off of travel or crowd noise or whatever it is that a team can capture when they're at home as opposed to when they've got to travel, and all the different things in between that make playing at home and having to go on the road and all that, you know, a factor. So it's like a perfect setting. It's like a laboratory setting for really a true champion. We're going to find out on a very equal level, all with the same kind of situation, you know, who's mentally stronger, who's playing at their best, who is able to shut out any kind of outside influence or inside the bubble issues, whatever they may be. I just think we're going to get a different sense of a champion. And that means that teams, for instance, that were playing, you know, kind of so-so before play was suspended, have had a chance to kind of make adjustments, rectify some issues, and improve. Other teams had injuries. Players that were going to be out probably would miss the regular season, maybe the playoffs. Now those players are all healthy. And then the unknown, the wild card is, who's going to get the virus? Because it's going to happen. They're just saw Webb Simpson announced today, the golfer, that he's got it. When the PGA Tour is taking all these incredible lengths of precaution, and he still got it. So, you know, I don't know what we're going to get. I my fingers are crossed, but the virus, as Dr. Fauci has told us from the very beginning, is not going away until there's a vaccine. It is always going to be present, always probably when, unless like drastic measures are taken. So, I mean, there's so much involved with these teams that what they were at the postponement of the season is probably not what they're going to be now, and it's going to change day to day with players getting infected. So it's really a crapshoot. It's I think, virtually unpredictable.
It's interesting that you bring up Webb Simpson. Kevin Harlan with us, by the way. Turner Sports, CBS, Westwood One. The time slot that you're speaking to us right now, this morning we were expecting to speak with Webb Simpson, who... He's a Wake Forest golf guy, and he obviously pulled out of the Travelers, won at Hilton Head this past week. And Kevin Harlan, you're going to get set, I imagine, to broadcast in some capacity what's happening in Orlando. What are you hearing exactly the broadcast presentation piece is going to look like?
Well, I hear now that we're probably down to two possibilities, but there could be new entrants literally day to day. I think it's a moving target right now. I think they've got a plan, which they really haven't told us in total, but I think at the same time they know that plan could change in a moment's notice. So, you know, I think the quarantine situation, broadcasting from the arena, and I also think there's a possibility we could be in a studio, and for us it would be perhaps Atlanta, where the home of TNT is. Maybe we would be at an NBA studio in Orlando. I don't know. Any way it goes, we're going to have to get there from all points of the map. We have so many broadcasters that will be involved and people that will produce and direct and do all the things. So while there's no real definitive, you know, right now, I'm pretty certain they've come down to two or three. And I'm assuming that being in a studio or being at Orlando.
Kevin Harlan with us here, the voice, one of the leading voices of the NBA from Turner Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin Harlan if you'd like. You are the reigning NSMA National Sportscaster of the Year. And I'm interested. I've asked Doc Emmerich this question before because he, of course, is just legendary on hockey, but loved baseball and never had a chance to call a big league game until a few years ago. You've called the Super Bowl. You've called, college basketball's big events. You've called, of course, everything in the NBA, it seems like. What's the sport or event that you hope one day to get the call that you haven't?
Baseball, I think, would be fun. You could on radio, not on TV, but on radio. In fact, I think I'd like anything on radio, whether 100, baseball. I think those would be great challenges. And the reason why I say auto racing and specifically the Indy 500 is I grew up listening to MRN and I was just infatuated with Paul Page of the Indy 500, and the coordination it took to make that sound, and the enthusiasm and the description that the announcers used were just spectacular. And then on baseball, I think there's describe what's going on because every pitch means something different. So if you've got that, I just think that you can always have a new way of approach and be creative with your description. And I would like that challenge. I think that challenge would be a lot of fun.
Kevin, it's just good to hear your voice, man. I hope you stay safe. I look forward to seeing you and hearing you on the NBA in just a short while. Thank you so much for making the time for us today.
Thank you for having me on. Great to hear your voice. Take care.
There you go. That's Kevin Harlan, voice of the NBA on TNT, along with Marv Albert. And just one of the best doing it. Apologize for some of the phone difficulties there. Hope it wasn't too distracting. It's just good to have somebody of his perspective on. And it's going to be interesting to see if you could tell a difference if they're broadcasting away from Orlando. In Turner's case, from the Atlanta studios. Are you going to be able to tell the difference? Are you going to be able to tell the difference between Harlan being in Atlanta, calling a game in Orlando versus if he was actually there on site? It's a fascinating question. It is going to be interesting to see what that product is going to be. Really, everything regarding that bubble is going to be fascinating. The Masters, Ole Miss, UNLV, the Florida Gator Bait Chant. They're all catching flack this week. I'll tell you why when BDOT joins us live in studio next.
Josh Graham loves to talk sports. He also loves to daydream about sports. Mostly about being the locker room towel boy. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
BDOT's hanging out live in studio with us. We've got story time to get to with BDOT involving a run-in with the law and regarding this radio show. We'll get to that in about 5 minutes, but I want to get to something that you've been doing in the past week or so. If you've been doing it longer than that, sorry, I just haven't been paying close enough attention, but you have these tremendous videos that you post on your social media, at B.TV on Twitter. You can find a lot of these, and it's hashtag, I don't know. I didn't know, maybe you didn't either, and you explain things that maybe you didn't know where it came from, and you did one that really stood out to me. The Florida Gators said that they were banning the Gator Bait chant, and I thought, man, are we going way too far with some of these things that are getting banned? I didn't know the root of it until you explained that back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, there were areas of the state of Florida and other parts of the South that would throw African-American babies into swamps and into water that was infested with alligators, calling them alligator bait. Mm-hmm. So even though the University of Florida, I don't think, was being racist by having the gator bait chant, that is the root of it. And I feel like you can find thousands of these across sports. And before we get to the discussion of how much of it we should listen to, how should we evolve, what should go, if anything, what's the latest one that you've discovered?
Well, the big thing about Florida was they recognized the racial instance, how racially insensitive it was, right?
Yes, and they got rid of it.
And they got rid of it. Big shouts to Florida. In that same vein, I saw Ole Miss. Now, Ole Miss, the name Ole Miss, does it mean Old Mississippi? Is it short for Old Mississippi? Or is it basically what slave masters or came from the term of the Old Missus, an African-American term for plantations, Old Mistress, back in the 1800s?
Not great.
Not great at all. And but when I saw the history of Ole Miss and just like how they, as for example, they had a huge riot where people actually died in 1962 when there was a black man trying to actually go to school there.
That also, you're talking about James Meredith.
Yes,
and
I
am. And that also was the greatest Ole Miss football season ever. Like, they went unbeaten in that football season in 1962.
Is that the documentary that was on ESPN?
There
that
spoke is, about that? Yes. Wright Thompson is from Mississippi. He is the best sports writer in America as far as I'm concerned. He wrote and he directed. Actually, I don't know if he directed it, but he starred and he wrote what they call Ghost of Ole Miss that you can find as a 30 for 30.
Yep, saw that. I am very interested in watching that. And they just had to change their mascot because they had the mascot Colonel Reb, and Colonel Reb was basically a caricature of a slave master.
Yeah, now it's a bear.
Yeah, now it's a bear.
It's this big red bear that's running around, Robert. Look at this thing. Take a look at that while B-Dot continues to explain what's going on here.
They also had a Confederate statue on campus that they just got removed a couple years ago.
Their state flag has the Confederate flag in it.
Bro, like Ole Miss is like, and when you start thinking about this, like you said, there's so many different things. I too wonder, Josh, like, where do you stop? Where, like, how far is too far with it? Because I never would have put the gator bait chant in that view of racially insensitive. I never would have viewed it that way until I saw the background on alligator bait, just like you said.
Robert, have you seen the Ole Miss mascot? I don't know the name of this bear.
When I look up Ole Miss mascot,
Landshark.
Landshark comes up.
That's what they just changed it to this year. Okay.
Like, oh, wait, 2 years I thought it was a bear.
It was a bear. It went from Colonel Reb to the bear, and 2 years ago they changed it to the Land Shark.
Because they decided to name it Rebel the Black Bear.
Yeah.
Which also...
How? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Come on. Ole Miss.
Yes.
Ole Miss, if your name wasn't racist enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And, or racially insensitive, I should say.
There we go.
And you had a rebel mascot, and in the name of trying to be insensitive, you moved the rebel mascot to a black bear. I was wrong. It was not a red bear. It was a black bear wearing a red jersey. Yeah. And you name it Rebel.
Actually, we're going to change it to a basset hound, and his name is going to be Confederate. Like, what there the?
We what are we doing, Ole Miss?
Exactly.
Like, come on. So now it's the Land Shark?
More like Old Swinging Miss, because they cannot get it right.
Good one.
Land Shark.
The Land Shark is now the Ole Miss Land Shark.
Which and I'm looks sure. terrifying,
amazing.
By the way.
UNLV. They're the Rebels, and apparently the root of that name was in honor of a Confederate, the Confederate causes, and Confederate soldier, like a Confederate general. You think about the Masters, for example.
But the UNLV, they're the running Rebels.
They are the running Rebels. And the Masters...
I've always had a problem with that.
One of the most awkward moments we've had on this show
yeah.
was when I had you in here. We did a top 10 list, and it was top 10 Masters in honor of the Masters starting... And you were sitting next to me. I didn't even give it a second thought. But then people were getting upset with me. And I understand at face value, okay, why you can knock me for that. But then I started thinking in the last few weeks, okay, the Masters, where does that come from? And it does come from a very golf place where Bobby Jones, I think, started this tournament in Augusta, Georgia. And it was to have the Masters of Golf come and play. But having that name on a tournament at a site that used to be a plantation in the 1800s, in the mid-1800s, it's at least worth a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
We need to listen. We should listen to renaming some sporting events, some teams, some cheers. And if you're thinking, Josh, renaming the Masters is just way too far. That could hurt golf. That could hurt the Masters. If you're somebody who's going to watch the Masters, are you really not going to watch if they name it the Augusta National Invitational?
Facts.
I got a feeling you're still going to watch that tournament. You're not watching it because it's called the Masters. You're watching it because of the azaleas and the golf course and the major and the golfers who are actually performing. So this isn't me saying, let's rename the Masters. This is me saying, let's listen to the perspectives of people who might view these tournaments, these terms, these cheers, in a different way than you do.
As offensive as hell.
Because you just said before I went through this long, rambling bit that the Masters was something you always had an issue with.
Absolutely. You just always felt like that. I didn't know why I necessarily didn't like it, but I just didn't like anything being called the Masters.
All white dudes, pretty much, and it's called the Masters.
Only time I watched it was to root on the black guy.
Let's not forget, I think 1975 was the first time a black man played that course.
Hmm.
Augusta National Golf Club didn't have an African-American member until 1990. The first woman was Condi Rice in 2012. So it hasn't had the greatest history when it comes to evolution and progression, but whether it's UNLV, University of Florida,
Ole Miss,
and the Masters, I think these are things that are worth discussing. Now let's get to the fun part. So I get a phone call on Monday. Actually, rather than explaining the phone call, I'll just have BDOT explain the story. Tell me about your latest run-in with the law here in the Triad and why it's related to this show.
Well, I'm leaving from working out. I hadn't worked out since March, and I'm 2 days in a row on yesterday. But on Monday, my first day, I said, you know what, whew, let me just relax. You know, and my homegirl Roxy, she was doing an IG Live video. I said, let me pregame for that. You know, so I stop at the store. I grab me two of the Swisher Sweets for 99 cents. I get in the car. I bust that thing down, put the guts in a little trash bag beside me, and I proceed to drive off. No sooner than I can crumble up some good old flour and drop it in the stick, blue lights come on behind me. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Sheesh. So, of course, I stash everything in my arm console. I'm fine. I haven't lit anything up. We're good. I pull over, pull off on a side road right there on Wendover, and the officer comes out and he says, first thing he sees on my big dash is 93.7's playing. And he's like, oh, you listen to 93.7? I said, yeah, I love sports, man. Sometimes I'm on there on Wednesdays with my man Josh. He's like, you listen to, I mean, you are you on there with Josh Graham? I said, yeah, Josh Graham, that's my guy. He's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, for sure. He's like, I listen to that guy. I'm like, that's what's up. So he's like, do you have any marijuana in the car? I'm like, yeah, I do. Usually I would have lied instantly, but for some reason, I didn't even have enough to lie about. It was literally less than a gram. I'm like, yeah, I do. He's like, where is it? So I give it to him or whatnot. He's looking at it. He's like, all right, we pulled you because in Alamance County, you have some you failed to pay a ticket and your license is suspended. Did you know that? Had absolutely no clue. You have any weapons or anything else in the car? Nothing. Need you to step out. So now they're frisking me and all of this. And, you know, now white people are starting to come out their houses and look, and cars are slowing down.
Are they pulling out their cell phones?
Yeah. Like, just in case I get one, this is going to be the one. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So it is like there are three narcotics officers. And he tells me, yeah, one of my officers saw you in the parking lot when you bust down the stick. And that's what made us start looking at you. We ran your tags. Your license was suspended. So we're just talking. And I'm like, so we're talking about a little bit more about Josh's show. Telling about Three Live Crew. We're talking about Wildin' Out. And they're going in my trunk to look at stuff. And they're starting to see all my credentials. And they're starting to see that everything is adding up. And they're like, well, if you don't have any warrants and you don't have anything else, we're just going to let you go with a verbal warning. And I'm like, all right, bet. So I go sit in the car. And I didn't have any warrants. I didn't have anything. And they come up and they give my license back. He's like, now, you know, I got to take this, right? I'm like, come on, bro. Like,
you just know, stay with me real quick. Bro, like, burn it down.
I said, bro, you know, I got to go get some more. Like, this, like, what do you want me to do? So we start laughing. And he's like, I said, what's your name, man? And he's like, Snow. And I'm like, all right, man. Officer Snow. I won't say his title because we don't want to, you know, throw him off his game out there as a narc. But Officer Snow and I think Officer Caldwell, they were really, really cool, man. They definitely listened to the show.
Yeah.
And I've never been given a verbal warning when I was 100% in the wrong with two infractions. So I credit you, Josh Graham, for getting me out of a tough situation.
This will be the second time that that's happened.
Look at my boy.
Not you specifically.
Hell no, not me.
The second time that's somebody who's been on this show has gotten out of a ticket because of this show. You know, we try to do good things.
That's what I'm going to start doing. So let that be a lesson. If you get pulled over, the first thing you should do is punch the 93.7 immediately. Immediately.
That's right.
And and then the officer will pull up and be like, oh, you're listening? And you just start name dropping. Yeah, Josh Graham.
I'm on Josh Graham's show sometimes.
You ain't never officer, been on the show in a day in your life.
I'd like to picture right now that somebody is in their car being pulled over, listening to 93.7 or 101.5 or 104.5. And or the AM signals, they're sitting in their car thinking, officer, this,
listen.
This situation, they're like, okay, so this is all I got to do? My name is B-Dad.
Exactly. And next thing you know, somebody's going to be showing you some video on their
Instagram. Your name is Carl Smith. Why do they call you B-Dot? It's just what they call
Because that's what I
got
to say to get out of tickets. And I listen to Josh Graham.
I love Josh Graham's show.
What's the most you've done to get out of a ticket? Like, what is the line that you've dropped before? Robert, have you ever tried anything?
I'm on the Josh Graham show on Wednesdays. That's the only time it's been effective. I've tried to do all kinds of things, and nothing makes you more upset than doing all that shucking and jiving and samboing for that officer, and he's still locking your ass up.
Oh, and you still get busted.
That is the worst.
And then, like, oh, man, I was sitting here so friendly and cooperative.
Oh, my God, that is the worst.
It's great. 336-777-1600. If you're a cop car in your car right now.
Yeah.
Officer Snow specifically.
I'm about to say officer shout outs. Officer shout outs right now if you're a cop that listens to Josh Graham.
Yeah. 777-1600 is the phone
number. They're listening, Josh.
Oh, I know they are. They are listening. On Twitter at SportsHubTryon. So a lot of stuff happening right now. The breaking news that's applicable to bring locally is that starting in Greensboro yesterday, it was effective that you have to be wearing masks. Then today, about a short while ago, Roy Cooper, he made it official that for the next 3 weeks, we're going to remain in phase two.
Mm-hmm.
And masks are going to be mandatory across the state of North Carolina. I've started to get good at this, where I keep the mask in my car.
Mm-hmm.
So now I just wear it when I go into a restaurant, or wear it when I go into a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I go indoors, I'm wearing the mask. So I've gotten pretty good at that. I hope you have.
I have, man. It's right there on my gear shift. As soon as I get out, I mean, as soon as I pull up, I pull it off and put it on.
Because it's such a bad feeling when you forget it.
Yes.
You are listening to WSGS Winston-Salem, WCOG Greensboro, WPCM Burlington, WMFR High Point. Those signals making up Sports Hub Triad. There are times I wish you could see the show behind the show, because the last 3.5 minutes have been a radio show of its own, with just a few more curse words sprinkled in between there. And Robert and B-Dot happen to believe the Simpsons television show knows
their profits.
Things are going to happen before they happen.
Their producers have to be from the future.
Easy.
Like, something has to be up here.
Legit.
They've hit too many major moments in U.S. history not to be real.
They called it the coronavirus, for God's sakes. And they had the mad
Wait, how
hornets.
Did they call the coronavirus?
Is this like a
Space Jam situation where Space Jam called it?
No, I will say coronavirus has been around. Like, COVID-19 is the newest strain of it, but The Simpsons did predict something where coronavirus breaks out, and it was all over the news. They have, like, these images on TV when Homer's watching it that is, like, coronavirus with, like, the molecule stuff.
It's strange I never got into The Simpsons.
A little bit.
That was a little before our time.
Like, I like South Park, and I really liked Family Guy. Never got into The Simpsons.
I feel like that humor was very 90s humor, and my mom wouldn't let me watch that kind of stuff. Mm. And like, so when Simpsons was in its heyday, like we never became fans of that show, so we never really cared besides like Treehouse of Horror or
whatever.
We sort of the urban community sort of adopted Bart, like because he was so because he was so.
Wait a minute,
he was on hella t-shirts. Him and Bugs Bunny.
Yes,
and I miss those shirts. I never wore them.
Who's the most prominent person that wore a Bart Simpson t-shirt?
Well, Guwop has a Bart Simpson chain.
Absolutely.
And
isn't that Gucci Mane?
That is
correct.
That is
Look
Gucci
at you.
Mane. Yeah. Yeah.
That is
See,
Gucci
I'm ready
Mane?
To go.
You are.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Yo, Burr.
We will put four finger All rings right. on Bart Simpson and shades on Bart Simpson. Bart Simpson, a brother, man.
Lemon.
What?
Okay.
All right. Let's get to B-Dot's grammar school. It's time. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to master this week's test.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking.
In high school, he didn't play sports, but he did wear a helmet.
And just when you think it can't get any worse.
My English teacher wanted to flunk me in junior high.
Damn.
Thanks a lot. Next semester, I'll be 35.
Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm from the old school. I got a street knowledge. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
If you would like to help Josh and be a lifeline today, the phone number here is 336-777-1600. You can call up, and when Josh gets stumped, and he will, he can go to you, and you will be his lifeline, and you can assist. We have three new words today, Josh. One, I'm going to even give you multiple choice on, and we also have two review words. Are you ready?
I like multiple choice.
I bet you do. What does it mean to throw it in the bag, Josh? Throw it in the bag. Fabulous even has a song called Throw It in the Bag.
Throw it in the bag.
Throw it in the bag. Okay. What does it mean?
It could be just like getting paid. It could mean like you're taking something from somebody because it feels like something you would say if you were robbing a bank. Hey, throw it in the bag.
Mm.
I'm trying to think.
Fabulous. Underrated or where he's supposed to be rated?
No, super, super underrated. Problem with Fabulous is he can't put together great albums or great songs, but his verbiage and the way he rhymes, unmatched.
Breathe, that hit, dude.
Unmatched.
Throw it in the bag, I'm going to say, means to get paid. Hey, or you're asking to be paid. Hey, throw it in the bag.
That is 100% incorrect, Josh.
Oh.
To let you try to get this point back, can you spell fabulous?
I think I can.
Let's go.
F-A-B-O-L-U-S.
That is incorrect.
Oh! How do you spell fabulous?
It was close. It was F-A-B-O-L-O-U-S.
That's what I said!
No, you did not have an O with the U. You said, you did not. You did not.
I thought that's what I said!
No, no. No, you didn't. Yep. All right, so that's two wrong ones. Throw it in the bag means take your girl shopping.
That's one
shopping.
Wrong one. That was a bonus.
Okay. Well, throw it in the bag means take your girl shopping. It doesn't matter what she gets or how much it costs. You just throw it in the bag, sis. Like, we don't even care. We make so much money that we don't even check price tags and receipts.
We don't even look at the price
We don't
tag.
Even look at it. Throw it in the bag. All right. Second word is a review word. What does it mean to slide, Josh? What does it mean to slide?
Does this mean to like, hey, like if you're sliding into the DMs to check, hey, just so you know, holler at somebody.
Sliding in the DMs and sliding are not the same thing.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
way to try to throw out a lifeline.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
always
yeah.
throwing these little preservers out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't need a lifeline, but I would like some help floating.
Yeah.
336-777-1600. What does it mean to slide?
Josh needs assistance because he has to get three of these right to pass today. He's already missed one,
yeah.
And he's fearful that he's going to miss the review word.
Very fearful.
Slide.
Slide. I assume this isn't the Goo Goo Dolls song.
That.
Can you whisper in my ear?
Okay, maybe I was about to say that's not the whitest thing you've said all day. Maybe the burr was, but now.
Burr! Right.
Is that Gucci?
Limon. All right.
Shut up.
Slide. Does it mean to just pull up? Like, hey, I'm going to slide in. I'm going to pull up on somebody.
Gosh, so close, but yet so far away, Josh. Slide means to leave. As a matter of fact, I'm going to slide in about 7 minutes. Your third word. You have to get all of these right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Look, don't get upset with me.
Yeah, before this, he was like, all right.
Yeah.
I am ready!
Hey, I can still do this.
You can.
I got you as a lifeline. I got the audience at 777-1600. I can do this.
What does it mean to bounce back, Josh?
What I'm about to do here.
What does it mean to bounce back? So what I'm about to do here.
Robert.
You should see the confidence in him too, y'all. He just think he knows this one.
Robert, help me out.
What's our word again?
Bounce back.
Bounce back. What does it mean to bounce back?
I need to get on the board here. I'm leaning on my guy.
I'm going to assume that bounce back is like to take a hit, but then you come right back. That's what I'm going to guess.
Are you going to agree with that or disagree, Josh?
He doesn't really have a choice because it's like he didn't even know
what. That's exactly what I was going to go with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like taking a hit and then trying to recover, rally.
That is correct. That is correct. To come back after falling off is to bounce back. You need these last two. It's a lot of pressure here.
Okay.
No time on the clock, Josh. You're down two at the free throw line.
Boom.
First shot. What does it mean to take several seats? You tell somebody, take several seats.
I think I know this one. This is telling somebody to sit down. You know what? Don't just sit down. Take several seats.
Give us some more.
Yeah, give me some more.
Nah, it's like it's.
What are they doing to make you have to tell them that? Why are you telling them that?
If you say something stupid and B-Dot says, take a seat, why is he telling you to take a seat? He's telling you to do what when you're talking?
Hold up. Like to step off, like step back, take a seat. I mean, these are all synonyms of each other.
Gosh.
Let's give it to him.
Give it to him? Yeah. All right, we'll give it to you.
To
it
shut
means
up.
To shut up, Josh. Take several seats. Shut up. You're too hyped.
That's a
shut
synonym
up.
Of dismissing somebody.
You never said dismissing someone. You never said that.
You said to step back.
So now you missed the first two. You got the last two.
You got one and a half right now.
And
no,
here.
I got two right, got two wrong. This is for the win.
Is your multiple choice. Who is Boo Boo the Fool? Is Boo Boo the Fool a clown on Bozo the Clown?
Okay.
Is Boo Boo the Fool not your mother? Or is Boo Boo the Fool a 1980s wrestler? Who is Boo Boo the Fool?
336-777-1600. Who's Boo Boo the Fool? It sounds like you made up the 80s wrestler part, so I'm going to scratch that off.
I'll let you know he's thinking about Bobo Brazil. Hmm. So, yeah, you got two now. Hmm. You got an extra lifeline out.
Clown from Bozo the Clown, not your mother. Boo Boo the Fool.
And for an extra point, if you could tell me what a boo boo is, I'll.
I'm going to say not your mother. That's going to be my choice. I don't know why, but I'm going with it. Not your mother, B.
Josh, you Final are answer. Correct.
Yeah!
Growing up, your mama said, listen, who you think I am? Boo Boo the Fool?
Not me.
I ain't Boo Boo the Fool. I'm one of your little friends.
Let's go! Let's go!
And you should be happy, Josh.
Anything is possible! I shock the world! I'm pretty!
Shut up!
I shock the world!
Oh my gosh. You did good.
Now no I need to try
way.
A way.
You got to be kidding.
I need to try and find a way to put this into a sentence.
You did good, man. You started 0-2, and then you came back strong with the last three. I got to give you your props on that, Josh. Great job, brother.
Explain Boo Boo the Fool to me again.
Well, when you're growing up, you do something, and you tell your mom a lie or something. She says, do I look like Boo Boo the Fool to you?
I'm not your friend.
I'm not one of your little friends. I'm not Boo Boo the Fool. That is like a staple.
I used to get hit with the, I am not one of your friends. I am your mother.
Exactly.
So many times. Anytime I could come home and try to joke with her.
Nah.
Nope.
Who you think I am? One of your little friends? And they always put little in front of friends, too.
Yeah. All right, well,
like
B-Dot,
I'm 20 years old.
B-Dot, thanks for being here. I know you're about to slide out of here.
I am about to slide. Thank you very much.
I hear a bunch of people saying the Los Angeles Lakers, they're the team that you need to rely on to win. It's LeBron. They're going to win in Orlando. And I'm like, guys, you need to take several seats. What do you think I am? Boo Boo the Fool.
Woo!
I mean, there is a team that I think right now they could just do whatever they want. They go to the shopping mall. They say, throw it in the bag. Got off to a rough start. They've been bouncing back.
That's a good one.
They had some injuries. They bounced back.
That's a good one.
I'll tell you who that is and why it's not the Lakers. Next.
Let's go, baby.
What, kind of like this?
Let's go!
Back to The Drive with Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
We are thrilled that Major League Baseball did the obvious thing to do for the sport. Figured out a plan to get games on the field. July 23rd and July 24th is when the season is going to debut. Teams are going to report 1 week from the day. P's and C's, Robert. P's and C's. Reporting a week from now. Robert doesn't know anything about baseball, so he's worried that he might have to hit the dump button for what I just said there, which also might defeat the purpose of this list I'm about to do, because Robert, he might not know anybody on this list. It's my top 10 baseball food names. Athletes, specifically baseball players, with names that connote food. You can tweet us guesses on Twitter at SportsHubTriad, 336-777-1600. It's time for the weekly top 10 list. Do you have any guesses for what might be on the list?
You're really not going to yell anymore?
Yeah, that's in the past, Robert.
Ah!
What people don't know is that's actually recorded. I don't know if people have picked up on that yet, that I could just call for this on demand.
Ah!
Do you want to do this at the start of every single top 10 list?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what kind of sounds did you pull this week?
Baseball sounds, like insults from
baseball. Are you sure you don't want to just do the yelling noise in between each and every one of these?
No, because it took me 30 minutes to pull all this stuff, and we're going to play it.
How about we do both?
Okay.
That's cool. Number 10. My number 10 baseball food name. Mike Trout.
Ah!
You play ball like a girl!
Classic.
Classic.
Is that the best line from that movie?
I also like when they're slinging out Babe Ruth nicknames, and the one kid's like, the Sultan of SWAT?
Yeah. I love the role. Gosh, there's so many good roles in that movie. The dog kind of deserved the Oscar, though,
for
the end.
For sure. For sure.
Really terrifying dog.
That dog could kick Air Bud's ass.
That's true. Number nine baseball food name, Garrett Coleslaw.
I'd just like to point out every newspaper in the country has picked us to finish last.
Ah!
You mixed up the order there.
I'll switch it around, you know.
What is your favorite baseball movie?
Probably Major League, probably that, I would assume.
Is there a character you identify with? Is it Charlie Sheen's character?
Maybe, because I don't really do a lot until the end. Yeah, it would be him. Either him or the guy that's like, I put anything I can find on the ball. I don't have an arm like you.
Number eight. My number eight baseball food name, Catfish Hunter.
Ah!
Are you crying? There's no crying in baseball.
That's another great...
Robert doesn't appreciate Catfish Hunter, because you don't know that that's an actual real person.
I don't.
Catfish Hunter.
I've heard the name before, but I have no clue who he is.
North Carolina legend. What were you saying about A League of Their Own?
Another Tom Hanks movie. So, you still hate him? You come around on him yet?
I have come around on Hanks. I just said that he's had a rough 20 years. That's it. Like, he hasn't done a lot of great movies the last 20 years, but you'd be hard-pressed. Again, I'll pull up the movies. Tom Hanks in the 90s had an 8-year run that I would put up against anybody else in the history of film. There, I said it. Like, I don't think anybody in the history of film had the 8-year stretch that he had between, we'll call it 1992, all the way through 2000. Like, these are the movies he did consecutively. 1992, it was A League of Their Own, Sleepless in Seattle, Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Apollo 13, Toy Story, That Thing You Do, Saving Private Ryan, You've Got Mail, Toy Story 2, Green Mile, Castaway.
And that doesn't even include Turner and Hooch, which is probably his best film of all time.
Come on, man.
Dude, do not hate on Hooch.
I will hate on Terminal. That's another Tom Hanks movie.
Terminal and Hooch. What a terrible movie
That's another movie by Tom Hanks. Turner and Hooch, I'm not going to hate on it, but come on. Compared to these other ones, it's just not as great. Hooch. Like, if you go past 2000, the next two are Road to Perdition and Catch Me If You Can. Like, that's a run of 14 straight movies that are all good. 14 straight. He did 10 years of movies and didn't do a flop. None.
The opposite of Adam Sandler, even though I love The Sandman.
Yes. Anyway, where were we?
Number
seven.
Ah, dang it.
Number seven, top 10 baseball food names. Corn on the Ty Cobb.
Hey, I bet you're a good catcher of donuts in your mouth.
Is that David Spade?
Yes, bench warmers. Probably.
Oh, leap off.
It's not a sword. You're not a sword.
Number six, top 10 baseball food names. Coco Crisp.
I've been cut already?
Ah!
I guess I should have went, ah, I've been cut already.
Coco Crisp. He belongs in so many top 10 lists.
And you've used him. It's the only reason I know his name is from top 10 lists.
I mean, everybody should know Coco Crisp. Name. That's an actual human being. Played for the Red Sox. Played for the A's.
Have you heard of LSU's newest DB phenom named DeColdest?
Yes.
DeColdest to ever do it?
DeColdest to ever do it.
I cannot wait until he is in the league. That's going to be
number
great.
Five. I can't wait until he's at LSU playing. Number five, top 10 baseball food names, Chocolate Moussina.
Hang on, let me scream.
We got people cursing here.
Let me scream first.
Ah!
You put snot on the ball.
Ugh. Grody.
Number four. My number four baseball food name. Anthony Rizzotto.
You just lost your membership in Video Spot.
Ah! Another bench warmers appearance?
Dude, it's hard to find random clips for this top 10 list. And if you watch Benchwarmers, you will get more laughs out of it than you think you will.
This says so much about you.
Dude, Rob Schneider, David Spade.
Depending on what the final three is.
John Heater.
How many great baseball movies there are. Difficult to pull this top 10 list?
I mean, okay, what phrase are you pulling from The Rookie to play during this?
We will push this discussion. I'll push this discussion. Because we need to get to the rest of the list. Number three, top 10 baseball food names. Stu Gehrig.
And I hit a foul, dude. It was sweet.
He's awesome.
another bench warmers clip. A third.
There might be another one.
A third.
I can't even remember.
At least.
I mean, it's a great movie.
It's not.
It's a good. Okay, I'll say great.
Objectively not a good movie.
I'll say it's a good movie.
It's amazing.
There's a lot of talent in
this
movie.
Pulling baseball movies. A third of the baseball movies are from the bench warmers.
Okay, find me funny baseball clips from regular movies that aren't major league, that aren't a league of their own, that aren't basketball, that aren't bench warmers.
Oh, wait. Number two, top 10 list, top 10 baseball food names.
I hope this is bench warmers.
Roberto Clementine.
Throw your bat down and stare at him right in his stupid eyes.
It's not. Unfortunate.
I got a feeling that's basketball.
Ah! No, that is from this YouTube personality who is like a terrible baseball coach. He just tries to be. You got another clip from
Gone
him.
Forever.
Yep, pretty much.
Number one, top 10 baseball players with names that connote to food. Pete Rose.
Dude, if I end up back in rehab, then it's all your fault.
Okay, now we need to have a talk. You and I, step into my office real quick here, Robert. We need to have a radio show content meeting here. See, this is behind the scenes. You're in my office right now, Robert. We're having a discussion. This is a discussion we need to have.
Oh, my God. It smells so bad in here. What is this smell? Is it your Pete Risotto or whatever here?
It's Pete Rose or Anthony Risotto.
I spilled my Anthony Risotto all over myself. All right. Now, what do you want to talk about? What are funny baseball movies?
Bull Durham.
Is that supposed to be a funny movie?
Yes. It's a romantic comedy. It's maybe the greatest baseball movie, the greatest sports movie ever made. See, here's the thing. Baseball movies are the best sports movies ever. And there was a run in the 80s and early 90s where you just had, Murderer's Row of baseball movies. Funny lines. Like, you have Costner throwing 100 the entire movie Bull Durham and Field of Dreams.
Okay.
There are funny things for Field of Dreams.
I'll lean on you for that expertise, but when I type in funny baseball movie into Google, here is the order of things they give to me. 1, Everybody Wants Some. 2, Bench Warmers. 3, Bad News Bears.
That is a funny movie.
4, this is the Billy Bob Thornton version, not the OG version.
Of course.
Hardball with Keanu Reeves.
Yep.
Sandlot, Everyone's Hero, Little Big League, Rookie of the Year, and I'll even go to the next slide. Mr. 3000, Fever Pitch, League of Their Own.
Fever Pitch is an awful movie.
Major League 2, Life or Something Like It. Major League, like, Major League, Back to the Minors. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids comes in at the 20th funny baseball movie. Okay. Bull Durham is nowhere on here.
Bull Durham is right here. I have it searched as well.
Okay, you did not look up funny baseball movie. And Bull Durham.
Funny baseball movie.
How far did you go down? That is more than 2 swipes.
Okay. Robert, let me make sure I'm understanding your argument. Again, we're in my office that smells like Anthony Risotto because you spilled it all over the place.
Ed, with the baseball playing monkey, is listed in front of this.
Listen to me. Just so I understand what your argument is. Are you saying you did not include legendary baseball movies as clips when you were pulling from baseball movies because they didn't show up in a Google search?
I typed in funny baseball movie clips, and yes, that is 120% why Bull Durham did not come up.
Let me do this a different way.
I'll even go to YouTube and type in funny baseball clips and tell you how many results come up before anything Bull Durham comes up.
Let me do it this way. Rather than ask you why you didn't pull the certain clips, let me do this a different way. I'm just going to list off movies and you tell me if you've seen them. Let's start with Bull Durham.
No, I have not seen it.
Field of Dreams.
Yes, I have seen it.
The Natural.
Yes, I have seen it.
You've seen The Natural?
For sure.
Wow.
Wow. I don't have Owen Wilson over here. I would hit that.
It's a little surprising. I didn't expect you to see The Natural.
And then if any of them are not The Rookie, then no. I have not seen it past that.
Really? You haven't seen you've seen Sandlot?
I mean, besides I'm talking funny baseball movies? Yeah, I've probably seen them all. But serious, if I don't make it to the majors, my kids aren't going to eat. I tell them I make it to the Devil Race.
So you haven't seen Moneyball?
Okay, I have seen Moneyball, yes.
Okay. So we're getting somewhere. You haven't seen Hardball?
No, I haven't seen Hardball.
All right. I'm trying to figure out in what order.
I'm still scrolling. Okay, cool. Throw It at the Bull. That is the first funny thing from Bull Durham that comes up after 22 other movies come up at funny baseball movies.
Okay, Robert. Let me figure out. Maybe the audience can help me here. You hear the movies that Robert hasn't seen. He hasn't seen, he surprisingly has seen The Natural. He surprisingly has seen Field of Dreams. You seen League of Their Own?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So you haven't seen Bull Durham.
Correct. I haven't seen Million Dollar Arm.
I don't know what that is.
An Indian dude. It's a Disney movie.
Enough said. Don't think you need to see that.
What about 42? I haven't seen 42.
Stay Far Away. That's the worst movie I've ever seen. 42. I actually have said this on many occasions. 42 is the worst movie I've ever seen. Like, the Jackie Robinson story is my favorite sports story, period. Like, I am just so fascinated about that time. I've done so much reading on Branch Rickey and everything that happened then. And what they produced was a bunch of garbage. Disney garbage. That's why I didn't like Remember the Titans, because they just turned Herman Boone into a cartoon character.
Trouble with the Curve. Should I
Not
watch
a good
that?
Movie. Stay away from that. Justin Timberlake doing an impression of a broadcaster. Maybe want a fist fight in the street. So really, it just sounds like that...
For the Love of the Game. Never seen that. Should I watch that?
That's a good movie. For the Love of the Game is a good movie. But Bull Durham, that is the number one that you need to see. You need to see Bull Durham.
Mr. 3000, I'm going to go ahead and say this since you're not going to be here for Hot Take Monday and neither will I. Mr. 3000 is a better movie than Bull Durham.
But you haven't seen it.
Just a hot take.
I mean,
you can't judge me for the take.
I can right now because we're not doing that segment. But
semantics.
You need to see Bull Durham. It's my favorite sports movie. 42 is my least favorite movie, period. Bull Durham is my favorite sports movie. Need to see it. It's the best sports movie. I said this not too long ago, and somebody said that I was pandering to the state of North Carolina and our audience. Really? Nah, I grew up in this state, man. I grew up going to Durham Bulls games and Carolina Mudcat games. Oh, it's just such a great movie. In fact, I do not want to go back and listen to it because I bet it's terrible. You know when you listen back to yourself years ago? I think the first segment I ever did on this show was me just trying to tell people about what I am. And I
Bull Durham, I'm about it.
No, I did a parody of the speech. The first things I ever said on this show was a parody of the long speech Kevin Costner gave to Susan Sarandon in the movie. So... I love Bull Durham. It doesn't sound like you haven't seen these great movies.
I mean, you know me, I watch movies. I tend to enjoy stuff like that. But I mean, it's just one that fell through my radar. I don't like baseball that much. I don't like baseball movies that much. It's just hard to get me intrigued. But worst movie, 42 or Fever Pitch?
42 is a worse movie because it had all the stuff there for you to be a great movie. Like, the expectations were high. When I see Jimmy Fallon, who is a known hardcore Yankee fan, taking Drew Barrymore to Red Sox games, being a hardcore Red Sox fan, I couldn't really believe that. Like, so the expectations were never high for Fever Pitch. Not a good movie, but the expectations just weren't high. So, Bull Durham, I want a book report. I want you to do a book report for this movie and bring it back here, okay? Do you think you could do that?
Long weekend, but...
Let's go to Betsy in Louisville real quick. She has two suggestions, I assume, for Robert. Oh, Betsy, cool. What do you got?
Hey, Robert. Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Just listening to your broadcast, 61. This is not a funny movie, but it's a wonderful movie about Roger Maris breaking the... baseball record of the Babe. And then the other one is, I think it's a cute, and it's Disney, you may disapprove, but Angels in the Outfield is a real cute.
Angels in the Outfield. That's one I didn't think about. I really do like 61. That's a great suggestion. Thanks for the call, Betsy. It's good to hear from you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
61, it was actually directed by Billy Crystal.
Okay. I'm a fan of Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal, huge Yankee fan. One time he actually played a spring training game with the Yankees. I'm trying to remember who the actor was who played Roger Maris, because it's a pretty noteworthy actor. This is going to crush me. Like, he played Rob Kennedy in a movie. Like, in the Kennedys, you know, there was a miniseries, the Kennedys. Same dude who played Roger Maris played Robert Kennedy in that. His name, he was one of the officers in Green Mile. Like, you'll know his face. He's an ultimate that guy. But Roger Maris in 61, Barry Pepper. Barry Pepper's the dude.
Okay, cool.
Green Mile and Rob Kennedy and the Kennedys. So, you going to watch Bull Durham? Are we going to make that happen? And you're going to report back and tell me when I get back from my vacation how it went?
Oh, so I have like 2 weeks to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. If not, I'll just read the Spark Notes.
Is Spark Notes still a thing?
Oh, yeah. Spark Notes is still a thing.
Notes is kind of the thing now. 336-777-1600. I'm getting a bunch. People saying, where's Billy Bean? He's not on the list. Major League. I mean, Bob Uecker. The fact that Bob Uecker wasn't one of your 10 cuts in the top 10 list, that's an embarrassment. That Bob Uecker wasn't included in the Major League cut.
I know we got a break coming up, but you got Chris in Thomasville here for the baseball.
All right, real quick, Chris, what do you have for me and what do you have for Robert, more importantly?
Josh, when I heard Robert say Mr. 3000 was a better baseball movie than Bull Durham,
yeah.
If I hadn't been driving down the road, I would have thrown stuff at the radio.
I threw a pin across the room. I threw a pin across the room. Does that make you feel better?
It does, because I had to vent my frustration.
All right. Well, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. All right. There you go. You need to watch Bull Durham. I guarantee you, you'll love it.
I'll check it out.
Pete Costner. Same year he did A League of Their Own. Anyway, this segment's gone way too long. Robert, what do you got in Ticket to the House?
You'll find out why I was so scared of monkeys.
It's next on The Drive.